Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
13-year-olds, teenagers here in Ireland at the moment, they have better relationships with their parents, but fewer friends than they did a decade ago. And this is the recent ESRI report, the changing social worlds of 13-year-olds. And they looked at a variety of different things for young teenagers in Ireland, how they've changed over the past decade in terms of their relationships with their family, their friends, their schoolmates, their day-to-day activities and their social experiences. But it was the element of friends that really kind of struck me this morning. Lucy is with us on the line today. Is it a worry, Lucy, that 13-year-olds in Ireland now have fewer friends than they did 10 years ago?
Well, it's 13-year-olds and friends is always a worry. I don't think that has changed significantly. I think you have to look at the grouping that you're looking at. So you're looking at, there's a couple of things. Number one, they're at a very transitionary period in their life. And any of us who have teenagers, most of us hopefully remember being teenagers, that between the ages of 12 and 15, generally your friendship group change a number of times, not just once. You know, as interests develop, as personalities develop, their friendship groups change. So I think one of the bigger problems for this group of 13-year-olds is the fact that during a very important stage of their development, they've got struck by COVID. So at a very important point of their social development,
that's true,
COVID hit.
Yeah.
And I think people have to look at that. What will happen if we do the same study in 5 years' time?
Because the group that we're talking,
will we get the same result?
Yeah, because the survey we're talking about, it draws comparisons from 13-year-olds in 2011 and 2012 to those in 2021 and 2022.
Exactly.
And of course, as you said, that was peak COVID era.
That was peak COVID. And of course, that would result in them being closer to their parents, which is a fabulous thing, by the way. I think it's wonderful. I'm very lucky. I have a brilliant relationship with all four of my children.
What age are they, Lucy?
From 15. I've 15, 14, 12 and 10.
Well, so you're pretty much in this peak era then.
Peak of this. I mean, their social interactions are quite different now as well. And that has to be remembered, that because so much of their life was online, there is an onus on parents to encourage them to get outside and to go meet their friends and to, because for such a long time, they could only rely through not their parents' fault or their own fault. They could only rely on technology to communicate.
And the 14-year-old, Lucy, in your house, are their friendships different to that of the 10-year-old?
Well, they're different people. That's the other thing you have to remember.
That's true.
All four of my children have wildly different personalities. My 12-year-old has ASD1, or was previously known as Asperger's, and so friends are not a priority for him. He struggles with social interaction, and I am his best friend in the whole world, and he is quite happy in that world. It's not through other people not wanting to make friends with him. It's through the fact that his mind is that of a 40-year-old, and so he thinks kids his own age are immature and they don't think the same way he does. Whereas my 15-year-old would only have very few friends, and again, that's by her choice. The 14-year-old has changed friendship groups a couple of times, but she's at the end of second year now. She changed her group of friends in sixth class, and she's gone on to the feeder secondary school, so a lot of them went. And that changed in first year. It changed again in second year. And I suspect it will change in third and fourth year.
No doubt about that.
Well, it absolutely will, And the 10-year-old is a complete social butterfly. Has so many friends I lose count. Half of them live in my house half the time, so I know them all really well.
So they're all so different. What about you, Katie? Katie Mack is from the Opinions Matter podcast. Katie, like, were you at all worried when you heard about this morning, the fact that 13-year-olds now have fewer friends than they did previously?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, I definitely think it's worrying, but I don't think it's surprising. Like your previous contributor said there, I think COVID has played a massive part in it. Like, I think that the age group most affected by the pandemic are actually the age group that would now be the early teens, 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, up to maybe 14, 15. It was completely abnormal. And I think it's actually, I think that there's still, it's had a massive impact that people don't realise. I think that it has caused long-lasting anxiety with teens, because for 2 years they basically weren't socialising. They were doing everything online. And then it comes down to the thing as well that parents, it's easier for a parent to hand their kids, even young kids, I see myself in restaurants, iPad parents handing their kids an iPad because it's easier than getting them up and getting them out and going checking to see where they are. When I was 13, I was out climbing trees, big gangs of people, teens walking around, hanging around my friends. You don't really see that, at least in my area, not to the same way that when I was a teenager you would have seen, because it is easier. And the fact of the matter is that parents, some parents are lazy, and it's easier to give your kids a PlayStation or an Xbox or an iPad and leave them off with that. You know where they are, you don't have to worry. And meanwhile, then they are being affected on a social level. They're massively affected. It's concerning, but that research doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Between the pandemic and the overtaking of smartphones and games and everything else, like it was inevitable that this was going to happen. We're becoming socially inept because all of our faces are buried in our phones, and talking online is being made. It's a lot easier than going out and meeting people. It is abnormal.
Yeah, I did hear Brendan Kelly though touch on that, the psychiatrist, a little bit earlier. He was on with Breakfast this morning about it, and like he did talk about the fact that, you know, a lot of young people are, when they're playing games or, you know, gaming, there is still interaction though.
Not the same. It's not like, I mean, being out, like they're saying now, and I know it's gone kind of a little bit out of the age range you're talking about, but 4 and 5 year olds don't know how to throw a ball now. I mean, it's mental, because the interaction where you have interaction online, it's not real. It's not real interaction. It's not the same as sitting with someone or playing with someone or throwing a ball or running around. And there's also the physical aspect of it as well for kids. You know, I believe that a lot of it comes down to parents being lazy because their kids are sitting at home with games and they're not. When I was 13, I was told, get up and go out and play with your friends. And I was off and I wouldn't come home till dinner time. And I was happy and it was normal and it was the way we were all brought up back then. But now an iPad is the substitute for a parent because it's easier. You don't have to listen. It distracts them. And
Is there too much? I suppose our kids been mollycoddled, Lucy, then, you know, by parents.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really feel they are. The way I feel about it is that you have to, as a parent, you have to remember you're not raising children, you're raising adults. And in order to raise a well-rounded adult, you have to let them fall. You know, you have to let them go out and play in the road. And how many of us got gravel in our knee and had to pick it out and wouldn't go home because our friends would go missing when we were growing up? Do you know what I mean? We wouldn't be able to find them. It's so important for kids to get out and interact on a human level, because while I actually do agree that, yes, there is some social interaction through technology, but they don't, it means that they don't have the resources.
Yeah, it's superficial, isn't it? They're not real friends.
They can't, it's simple biology. They can't read facial expression. They struggle to read body language. And all of these are very important developmental skills for all children. You know, and that's what human interaction gives.
Okay.
It gives them those life lessons.
Alwyn Moran, Lucy's with us as well. Alwyn's a neurodevelopmental therapist and the founder of Cogni Kids. Alwyn, just first of all, the stats from the ESRI this morning, 13-year-olds nowadays, they've fewer friends than we did. Is it a worry or, like, should parents be concerned about this?
It absolutely would be a worry, yes, indeed, because at this age, this is the age actually when your peers become more important in your life than your parents. You start to pull away from your parents kind of at around this age. It's, you know, I would say when the eye rolling starts to come in as a parent, you know, if you're trying to kind of, enforce rules or discuss kind of boundaries and things like that, they start to do the eye roll, and you know, you're not the sun, moon and stars for them anymore. It's where they become much more influenced by their peers. So yeah, it is. And to pick up on some of the comments that your previous two contributors have mentioned, it's definitely you know, kind of, I suppose it's a Pandora's box of everything, all of the changes that we've experienced. So in terms of, you know, children being much more phone-based now and screen-based, part of the reason for that is they're not out on the roads anymore. We can look to, why is that? Well, there's a lot of, you know, kind of the safety where parents felt now, you know, it's not safe to have them out anymore, where in our childhoods it was, and you were climbing trees, as somebody said, and you were off and you were, you know, playing marbles and navigating all of those relationships, where all the skills that you learn from being out and having free play, it's unstructured, it's unorganized, it's, you know, it's not timed or anything. It's literally just free play with peers. So you might be playing with kids on the road that are 2 or 3 years younger, 2 or 3 years older. There's always disagreements. You have to learn how to navigate those. Yeah.
You have to have a fight or a fallout.
You have to have a fight. And you have to understand that actually a difference of opinion is okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the end of the world. It doesn't mean that your view of the world is wrong and the other person's view of the world is wrong. You understand that actually we both have different views of the world. How do we find a happy medium here? And all of these things help build resilience in our children.
When I think back, like when I was 13, say, like in first year in secondary school, my friends from that time, Alwyn, have completely changed. I would say there's maybe one person I'm friends with from when I was in first year in secondary school. I would guess that's probably the same for a lot of our listeners.
Yeah.
So does it matter if you don't have a whole ball of friends? Like,
well, but how do you know, like, how do you know that they're not your people anymore? You know, you have to encounter people all the time and figure out who's, you know, right for me and who do I want to hang out with. And, you know, you have to know how to filter through these, because absolutely, friends come and go into our lives. And, you know, there's a saying that kind of they come to teach us lessons and then they move on. And, you know, that is so true, even from very young.
Yeah.
We all learn and we gain something from social interactions. And, you know, I'm always saying this, and I know, Andrea, you've heard me say this a bunch of times. It's like, if we look at what does a screen take from us, not what does it give to us, what does it take away? It takes away that real life social connection, and it also takes away movement. And those two things are absolutely critical for healthy brain and body development.
Text here from a listener, Alwyn, who says, I actually don't think that this is such a big problem. Children don't need 30 friends. They only need a few good ones. And as long as they've got those, they'll be perfectly fine. I'm thinking of parents today, and Katie and Lucy are still with us, Alwyn. Can you put a number on how many friends your teenage children should have? Good friends now.
No, but so, you know, and again, you know, we do come down to the quality over quantity, absolutely. But it's critical that they have more, you know, than two friends or that, you know. And, you know, there was a reduction from 55% to 38% from this research that showed that's the reduction in people with large peer groups. So not that you need to have 20 people, but you actually need to be kind of navigating through lots of different types of friendships with different types of people. That's how you learn, how you build yourself up as a resilient human. And you figure out, you know, what's good, what's not so good, who makes me feel good. Mm. I always say to my kids, you know, because, you know, as parents, you can't tell your children who to be friends with. And you really can't, because that's one guarantee that they will actually hang out with the people that you really don't want.
I imagine that's got to be hard though, Katie, I'm sure.
Oh, trying to tell them who to be friends with. Oh, listen, if my mother had tried to tell me who to be friends with, it wouldn't have gone down too well. But the main thing is that, you know, you're giving your kids a chance to be social. Parents aren't doing their kids any favours. And then there's also going to be probably another pandemic or epidemic at least, sorry, an epidemic even in the future then, of children with weight issues and issues as a result of not getting physical exercise, which is another problem coming from the likes of these iPad parents. So it's all going to have a knock-on effect. We're seeing the social effects, and we are starting to see physical effects as well. And I think that a mixture of the pandemic and technology is to blame pretty much for all of it.
So another listener here, Alwyn, makes the point, the reason these kids have fewer friends is because they're all so mollycoddled by their parents. They're driven everywhere, to every event, to every sports match. Their parents actually even try to pick their friends for them. They're not allowed to pick out and make their own friends and learn from those mistakes. It's probably true enough, I imagine, Alwyn, is it? For
there is an element of that. But, you know, I always say, like, you know, referencing that, you can't tell your kids who to be friends with, but always instill in your children, figure out who you feel good around. Who are the people that support you? Who are the people that make you feel good? Who are the people that are there when you're, you know, in needing of conversation or whatever? So tap into your gut and figure out that. But
yeah,
you know what actually is a really key thing here in terms of the screen-based childhoods? There is research coming out from the States now and of recent, where the amount of screen time is actually now correlated with changes in the limbic system structure. And this is the areas in the brain, these subcortical areas, are actually where emotions are processed. And so if these areas are being altered in structure, it has to absolutely have a knock-on effect to how our children are processing emotions, dealing with emotions, being able to handle and navigate
right.
those big emotions.
There you go.
So that's something that's really critical.
Yeah, another texter says, regarding the chat right now, I agree that playing on the road is so important, but the neighbourhoods have changed so drastically. The greens and the cul-de-sacs, they're totally disappearing and the roads are just so much more dangerous. So it's not always technology's fault.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.